B-Pod Studios.
With the man who joins us every Wednesday at this time. His name is Jason Starr. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, by the way. Writes for The Athletic and does all kinds of other baseball stuff nationally. Jason, how we doing today?
Hey, Mike, we've reached the which head should roll poll stage.
We have, and surprisingly, 4% say no changes are needed.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Has John Middleton voted yet?
No, he hasn't. So let's get into that. My man's on the trip. He's in Washington, right? Yesterday was a dark day. Okay, they needed to win the first game, didn't win it, give up the second game, the Nola factor, all that stuff. Where does it go from here, and what impression is the owner getting here?
Well, I mean, the first big drama is, are they even going to finish with a winning record? And they were 15 over last year, finished with a losing record. They were 11 over this year, could finish with a losing record. I mean, that's not a good thing to have on your managerial resume. But, I don't get the impression that John Middleton will be basing his decision on, what he sees over the last 5 days of the season.
Uh-huh.
He's seen it. I think he knows in his mind what he wants to do. And then the question is, how loud is his voice in those meetings? Is this the only voice that matters? I don't know the answer to those questions, but I'm going to say it's going to be loud.
Well, I would think it would be. It was loud for the hitting coach. So,
right?
Like, why wouldn't it be loud for the more important decision here?
No, of course it will be. But, the leadership dynamic as it's developed is, the owner is the guy who shows the fire, who shows the emotion, who asks the big questions, who asks, why shouldn't I do this? Why shouldn't we do that? And then the people around him try to fulfill that calming presence, that voice of reason kind of role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that working, but as I've been telling you for 2 months now, I really believe anything is possible, but I don't know the exact answer to what is going to happen.
All right, let me just give you my mindset here, and then you can shoot holes in it or whatever. If they finish 500 or even one game over 500, how does the owner justify no changes at all? Now, he can justify maybe not changing the front office because a short few months ago he believed in it to the extent where he gave him an extension. But how does he justify not making any changes and not demanding that the manager be fired after a season like this, where logically that you have to do something to placate your fan base?
Yeah, I don't think he's wired to make no changes.
Okay.
How extensive the changes are, only he knows that. It seems like they have started those meetings and those discussions, but I just don't know how many heads will roll. I keep telling you that one of the biggest factors in the manager decision is the choices. You're like, if you want to hire Joe Maddon or Buck Showalter or somebody like that, you only get so many chances to have managers with that experience level and that kind of presence and charisma available at the same time. This is a unique opportunity, even if you like Gabe Kapler. And I think the whole group likes Gabe Kapler personally, and I think they could talk themselves into keeping him. But what are the alternatives? The alternatives, you have to factor that in when you make the decision. You have to.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about yesterday, because I just want to clear a couple things up and see how you saw it. They need the game to stay in it. They go Nola in game two when it doesn't matter. So once they lose game one, what's the point of pitching Nola? And why wouldn't you at that point go, okay, we'll give him one more start. We'll do it at home. Like, where's the thinking in that?
What's your definition of in it?
Well, the magic number was one. So I get it.
But they added up for weeks.
I understand, but what's the point of giving them an extra half a day rest?
I don't know.
All right.
I honestly don't know. But you're right. If you really believe that there's a sense of urgency and that you are actually alive, which is what Gabe Kapler's been saying, then right, you've got to pitch Nola in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, you're only pushing it up a few hours. What is he going to do? Is he going to get an extra nap? I don't. And then, okay, let's go into the game itself. He goes out, and obviously he doesn't want to take him out, so he gives him the opportunity. Of course, the pitcher's going to say he wants to stay in, and he gets pinched. Now, at that point, is it appropriate to take him out of the game and bring in Jared Hughes?
Well, he pushed him to his most pitches this year.
115. I get it.
Right. And I mean, he'd reached that one more hitter stage.
Uh-huh.
The one thing you have to say is, I mean, for a guy who never gets flustered, who never shows emotion, no matter what happened, that was as upset as you'll ever see him. And so, you know, I think he was going to take him out after that hitter no matter what happened, but that was an Aaron Nola that I hadn't seen. Was he prepared to attack the next hitter with the bases loaded?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
All right, so you say he was
odd.
Mentally, not only physically, but mentally maybe out of it at that point.
I don't know about mentally, but emotionally. He was in a...
All right, I can buy that, but here's the thing. If you do a value judgment, are you better off with Jared Hughes?
No.
Well, see, that's the thing that's got to be factored in. This is why, this manager, I don't understand, the mind sometimes does not open up to the right avenues.
Well, in the Athletic today, Megan Montemuro has a rundown of 10 games that sum up the season. And if you read through those 10 games...
Yeah, I have it right in front of me, that story.
Yeah. I mean, isn't there a common theme where the game just kind of reeled out of control?
Yes.
And the wrong guy was on the mound,
yeah,
or something to that effect?
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
And those games add up. And part of it is because, you know, Gabe, when he thinks he has a chance to win one game, he doesn't have that less is more gene in him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, guys start coming out of the pen, and this guy's in there, and then that guy's in there, and then you're out of options for later, or you use this guy yesterday, and you can't use him today. And there are a lot of games like that. There are a lot. And, I mean, if you watched the really experienced managers, you don't get a lot of those games. Now, there's nothing to say that he might not figure that out. I mean, he does want to be good at this,
uh-huh,
but they're not at a stage where on-the-job training can still be a thing, given when you think of that next year, you know, where they have placed the bar for next year now. You can't afford any more games like that.
All right, let me take you into next year, and I'm just going to make you a kind of a general manager, talent evaluator, overseer. Who are the keepers and who might be movable to make the team better?
So, on the roster.
Yes. So let's go with the first baseman.
Well, he's a keeper.
He's a keeper.
You're not going to move him.
You won't move him.
He's lost.
Yes, he is. That's why I asked you the question. Is he a keeper or not?
Yeah, he's a keeper.
Okay.
You got to fix him, but you're not going to trade him.
I agree, because he's a power hitter and you can't afford to give away power.
Yeah, it's like the clubhouse revolves around him.
Yes.
And it's important that you fix him.
All right, let's go to the second baseman.
He's affordable. That's another thing.
Yeah, he is. Second baseman. Keeper?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
The second baseman.
I think we discussed him. I would say, he's not 100% gone. He's, 65% gone to me. Just kind of depends on how the other pieces fit. You should make a change there. You should look for a change of scenery. He should look to upgrade, but he's still a talented enough player that you got to make sure you're going to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And because Scott Kingery is a piece who could fall into place at multiple places, I just don't know on that one.
Okay. The shortstop is probably a keeper because he's in a contract and you can't find another one. But he's weird. And I don't know if he helps you win. What do they think of him?
Good player. Hasn't had quite the year you would expect him to have, but he's signed for three more years plus, I think, an option year after that. And you're not going to do better. A better team, I think he plays better. I don't know. Considering the way he started out, he's kind of a symbol of their whole year. What you thought he was going to be versus what he's been are not the same things.
All right. The last question. It's a double question. The third baseman, do you believe, will be Boehm next year at the start or at some time next year?
Not opening day.
He won't be the starter. Which means they have to find somebody who can play third base, which messes up everything now because it might be Kingery, which means they have to keep Hernandez.
You're reading it right.
Well, that's not good. These decisions have to be made before the season.
You could chase Anthony Rendon and then trade Alec Boehm
Is it possible they do that?
That was a big topic at one point in mid-year. There are other teams that thought for sure they'd be at the front of the Anthony Rendon line. Then the year that Alec Boehm had, and considering the need to upgrade pitching, it seems unlikely they'd spend their dollars in the Anthony Rendon pool. But anything's possible. You're going to need to be creative to change the mix and upgraded a number of spots, and third base is obviously one of them. Mikel, as much as people talk about how much they like the guy and he hasn't been treated well here, he has not been a good player. He's been one of the worst players in the league since May.
Yes, he has. And finally, will they trade for a center fielder?
Possible. Okay. One of the moving parts, for sure. But the outfield situation's all jumbled. Mm-hmm. It's jumbled. I mean, McCutcheon's back. GM says he expects him to be healthy. Right field's tied up for 12 years. I don't think you'll ever see Odubel play here again, but that's a tricky situation.
All right.
Adam Haseley, I think, has earned the right to play out there sometime, even if it's not opening day. I don't know. It's just one of the many moving parts.
All right. Jason, it's been a very interesting postmortem. Thank you very much.
It has.
All right.
We're not done with the postmortem.
No, I guess we're not. We'll talk to you.
Hey, Mike.
All right. That's Jason Stark.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.